This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Lillard and Kawhi at the Garden. Why not? Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. Let's roll. Friday night. Mets baseball, we will get to through the course of the show. We can even do a little Yankees, even if the game's going on, because the issues supersede the game. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Tweet the show at Chris Carlin, by all means. On Instagram, it's that guy Carlin. So Damian Lillard has been eliminated from the playoffs with the Portland Trailblazers. Now, I just want to start with this little nugget from Stephen A. Smith this morning on First Take.
Yeah, we were talking about Damian Lillard a bit earlier. I just had somebody reach out to me, one of the players. Apparently, a lot of people have been eliminated over the last couple of days, as you all know. And as a result, especially when Damian Lillard got eliminated last night, several calls have come their way. You got a lot of teams, about six or seven different teams, believe they can get their hands on them. They think they've got a shot. One of them includes the Knicks, who's scheduled to have about $75 million in cap space along with some picks, but also the Clippers, the Miami Heat, and who knows what the Lakers may try to do. Stay tuned.
Already, the Trailblazers' body isn't even cold yet, and already teams are calling to try to get Damian Lillard, including the Knicks. And I absolutely love it, but I only love it in one circumstance. And that's if Damian Lillard can convince somebody else to come with him. Now, look, this is in all likelihood a dream more than anything else, right? But when you look at the free agents and you look at Lillard's ability to get out of Portland now, which he certainly can by asking for a trade, and nobody, I think even the Trailblazers, would blame him at this point. There are truly only a few teams that have what it takes to give the Trailblazers what they would want in a potential deal. The Knicks are one of those teams. As Bart pointed out earlier today, the Golden State Warriors are one of those teams. But let's focus on the Knicks. Now, look, guys, I'm not going to try to fool you and think that this is something that could definitively happen. But their chances are better than anybody else. And what this is going to boil down to make this deal completely worth it for the Knicks at this juncture is if Damian Lillard and somebody else are committed to coming to Madison Square Garden. I felt like as this playoff was unfolding, if the Blazers were going to get knocked out, that Lillard had to sit down this offseason and really figure out who he wanted to play with and where he wanted to go. Now, there may be other stars who demand a trade, but not on that level. And there's only one superstar free agent, and that's Kawhi Leonard. If you can position a deal where Lillard and Kawhi Leonard decide they want to go play together in New York, and I know it sounds like a long shot, but is it? Is it really a long shot? Well, if you're the Knicks, then you have to put that together. And it sounds like they're already trying to make it happen. Lillard's 31 years old come the start of next season. He has a lot of mileage on him, but he's got a lot left. You'd have to believe that he's got 3 or 4 years at the top level of his game, at least. And for instance, I was skeptical of what Chris Paul was going to be capable of this year. But man, look at what he has done with Phoenix. It's been off the charts. Now, he's banged up right now, but at 35 years old, there has still been an awful lot left for a guy that, as we said, also had a lot of mileage on his body. And that's why I wasn't that high on the idea of Chris Paul last year for the Knicks. But as we've seen the impact that he's had, And as we've seen what Lillard is capable of again and again and again, still in my estimation, one of the most underrated players in the league, even after the other night. Maybe the other night woke some people up who don't pay enough attention. He's still one of the top players in the game to me. And if you pair him with a 29-year-old Kawhi Leonard, and the Knicks have the young pieces to go get a deal done along the lines of obviously Obi Toppin, obviously R.J. Barrett, obviously Mitchell Robinson, guys like that, along with the draft picks that they have, two this year. You can't trade them in back-to-back years, so pick swaps, all that kind of stuff. They can do what you need to do for the Blazers to be able to justify that. Now, when you look at this, it's so odd that that kind of information would be out there immediately, wouldn't it? Well, what that says to me is somebody wanted that information out there. Somebody wanted Stephen A. to say to all these teams out there, basically line up and get your best offers ready, which would lead you to believe that it was somebody within the Blazers. So they want to soften the ground potentially for teams that are looking to make a deal, but more softening the ground really for their own fan base to get ready for this to come. And they also want to make sure teams understand that there's going to be an awful lot of competition and you better come together with a terrific deal. You better come correct. Can you convince Kawhi Leonard to come here? If you're Kawhi, what is holding you out there? I mean, maybe Kawhi can figure out a way to get Lillard to join him with the Clippers. But if you're Kawhi Leonard, what exactly is keeping you with the Clippers at this point? Do you expect the Clippers in this situation to be able to hold on and find a way to win in a seventh game? I don't know about that. Look, I understand in this series that the road teams had the true benefit here, but I don't expect the Mavericks to lose tonight. So then the Clippers are out. So what's happened with Kawhi with the Clippers? Not nearly enough. Here's the true attraction, though, at this point. Think about this. What does it do for a player's legacy in this league right now to win a championship when they join a super team? It puts you on par with everybody else. But, you know, if you go and you do it with a storied franchise, but one that hasn't won in a very, very long time, doesn't that add to it a little bit? If you are two players who come to play with a third player, potentially Julius Randle, or maybe he ends up getting shipped out, which you pick up his option would be completely fine, or even a sign and trade if he decides to sign the extension. I don't think that would happen, but you get the point. He thinks he can make more money later, but the point is that if you can be those two players, Leonard and Lillard, and coming here to the Garden to contend for a championship, which you would be. Even though you've got what's going on in Brooklyn, even though you've got some of the other situations, you would be right there in the discussion. And you brought a championship back to Madison Square Garden for the first time in 50 years? What does that do for your legacy? A hell of a lot more than it does in Portland. A hell of a lot more than it does with the Clippers. The Clippers are always going to be number two team in town. We know that. A distant two. And we understand that the Trailblazers play in, well, Portland, Oregon. 50 years. Legacy hunting. Championship hunting. These guys make decisions by getting together in the offseason and trying to figure out how to get to where they want to be. Lillard and Leonard at the Garden. I like it a lot. 800-919-3776. Other options for the Knicks we will talk through as well. But let's start with this premise. Is this one that you want to see happen? 800-919-3776. Carlin, just getting rolling. I'm not going to lie. It's been a bit of a day. You know, commute back and forth to the city of roughly 5 hours altogether. In a pouring monsoon on the New Jersey Turnpike on the way home. Power out for the second straight day this afternoon to the point where I wasn't quite sure if I was going to be on tonight. Running around, picking up the dog at daycare. Wife's been out of town this week. Place is a disaster. Dear God, make it all stop. But here I am. Am I a little on edge, as you heard with the Don and Michael and Peter earlier? Yes, I'm a little on edge. But that always makes for the best talk radio, right? Let's hope so. 800-919-ESPN. Let's roll. The Knicks, Lillard, and Leonard. Cullum in the Bronx going to start us off tonight on 98.7 ESPN. Cullum, what's up, baby?
Carlin, good evening. Always good to talk to you. Listen, I'm just going to start by saying I completely agree with you. I am a Knicks fan first. I would be 100% on board with a trade. Kawhi Leonard, that would be through the moon. But I'm 27 years old, and in my entire Knicks fandom, I have never had a player that has been drafted by the team and got a second contract and stayed with the team and became, a Knick. When I grew up, you know who my favorite players were? Latrell Sprewell and Stephon Marbury. So I don't really get that many options for basically my entire life. I would love to have R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly be on this team for 10, 12, 15 years.
I get that. Hang on a second, though. All right? I understand that mentality. But if we're talking about the likes of Leonard and Lillard, and you're trading those guys to get Damian Lillard, the whole idea of winning a championship with your own homegrown players is more important than winning a championship?
I'm not saying that winning a championship in general, nothing's guaranteed with winning a championship if you brought in Kawhi and Damian Lillard. The Nets team could very well still be around. And if you told me you add Damian Lillard and Kawhi Leonard right now to this team, that Nets team is still better. No question about it. And we don't know what LeBron James is going to do with those Lakers teams.
I understand, but you know what? Let me ask you a question. Cullum, who are you going to bring to the Knicks that is immediately going to make you better than the Nets? Nobody. That's the answer.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So why should we jump into immediately building a superstar team and going for it all right now when we just had our first relevant season in 8 years?
You've had your second relevant season in 20 years, Cullum. Your second relevant season in 20 years. I know you're young,
exactly.
But still.
And me as a diehard Knicks fan, I mean, I'm a Giants fan. I saw two championships. I'm a Yankees fan. I'm not one of those Yankees fans who complain. The Yankees have been all good my entire life, so let them keep doing their thing. I'm not a Yankees complainer, but the Knicks my whole life have been nothing but literally the worst franchise in history, like statistically with winning percentage over all major sports.
Look, Cullum, I get where you're coming
from. They are the worst team.
I get it, and you want to see your own guys, and thanks for the call. The problem here is that your own guys might be superstars, might be stars. They might not be. Do we think that R.J. Barrett's definitively a two yet? Or he's going to be? I know he's 20. I understand that. But can we say that specifically? I don't think we can. I know what Damian Lillard is. And if you're telling me that it's Barrett, it's Mitchell Robinson, it's Quickly and picks, let's go. And you're also going to be able to sign Leonard, let's go. There's nothing to talk about at that point. Paul is in Japan, and he is up next. Paul, what's going on, buddy boy?
Hey, how's it going there, Carlin?
Good. Good. Where are you? And are you in Tokyo or where are you in Japan?
I'm in Okinawa.
Okay. All right. Thanks for checking in tonight, brother. What's up?
Okay, I called last week and spoke to you. I don't know if you remember mm-hmm. me, but yes, I'm calling about the Knicks, and here's my thinking that they probably should do. If they strike out in trading for a superstar right now, in my opinion, I believe they should continue developing and valuing the players they have for next year, then see with the team as a second year together, develop and become better, then do what Atlanta just did on this past trade deadline, is to get players to make them better, because that's what Atlanta did. See, Atlanta yeah. was hurt in the beginning of the year, and then during the trade deadline, they made some trades for some shooters, real shooters, and look what happened. Hey, I believe that's the route they should go.
Yeah, listen, I think that the Hawks, if you are talking about going the route that you're talking about, are an excellent model. An excellent model. The problem is you still need that one guy. You still need that one player who is Trae Young. And you don't have that one guy yet. You need all the other shooters and the role players are great when you have that superstar type player. We saw 1 year from Julius Randle. We haven't seen nearly enough yet. And while he played some point forward this year, he is not Trae Young. I think that's very clear.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Paul, and thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in from overseas as always. I would say that if you're going to want to model what they did, that's fine. But understand that the most important thing they did was having that one guy that they could build around. And right now, they are just now finding out for certain that they have that guy, because they were always going to have Luka Doncic holding over their heads. But Trae Young has become a really, really good player, and now you just saw him in the playoffs for the first time, what he's capable of. The guy's a killer. He's a killer. That's very clear. Up next, it's Paul in White Plains. Paul, what's going on? You're on 98.7 ESPN, brother. How are you?
How we doing, big guy?
Yeah, not too bad. Hello? You kind of said that a little creepy.
Okay, good, yeah. No, I did, because after they were calling you today, I believe on the K-Show.
Oh, yeah, the big fella. That's what they call me. Yeah. That's because I was a little cranky today when I was on the show.
Yeah. But now I might be even creepier. I will be pool hopping by Princeton University today, and I'm hoping to find your spot. Okay, because they told me that you're buying Ivy League school. No, I'm just kidding around. Okay, back to the Knicks.
Yeah, I live a couple of towns over from Princeton, but you know what? Don't look too hard.
I won't look too much, because sometimes I don't wear any shorts either, so beware.
Could have done without that.
No, listen. Yes, exactly. That's why I said it to you. So I disagree with the last call. You can, like, first of all, the Hawks could lose in the next round. They annihilated us, fine, but we have to give. We're going to do the opposite of what we did with Ewing. Ewing needed his Robin. We never gave it to him. So now you got to go big. And I'm sorry, Randall's a good dude. You keep him. He's the Robin. Maybe not number two. But for next year, if we can't get two superstars, you get one. We deserve a shot with that. And when you say superstar, it's got to be Dame. Ball, I would love both of them. But, you know, I can't be dreaming too much. We got to go for it now.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think that Julius Randle is definitively a number two?
No, I agree. Now I'm nervous because I think he's a head case for the playoffs. I know it's one series. I think first playoff series next year, if he has one bad game, it's going to be a big problem. So I do think he could slip into a number three. That's why I said Ball, Dame, and him. I just wouldn't ship him out. He's a good dude. He got us on track. And I know you mentioned, I love Kawhi, but the load management in Tibbs is not going to mix.
All right. Well, I was going to save that for a little bit, but I'll talk about that for a second, Paul, before we get into that more.
Okay.
The bigger issue here, and thanks for the call, for Tibbs has nothing to do with Kawhi and load management. You guys got to, that's not going to be a problem, because if Tibbs is going to make it a problem, Tibbs is not going to have the problem for very long. He's going to be gone. I mean, let's call it what it is. You look at the Knicks this season, and he kept the foot on the gas all year long, and he had that team playing as hard as they did during the regular season because of their lack of talent. It was the only way that they could be successful at a high level as they were. It was the only way to get to where they got to at the fourth seed and 41 wins. They took advantage of all of the teams that did not bust it every night out and didn't treat the regular season this year with a true urgency. The Knicks did. But that changes when you get a superstar player or two here. Because as we have seen firsthand in just watching some of these playoffs, if you don't have these guys fresh and ready to go, it's a problem. I don't care what happened in years past. It doesn't matter what happened 20 years ago with all the guys that would play every game. Jordan, who would play every game. Doesn't matter. This is not then. So this is only going to be on one person to adapt. And that's Tibbs. That's him. Because once you get the stars in place, that is the true roadmap to winning the championship, and you're going to have to deal with it just a bit. Tibbs is not going to be a problem if he gets Dame Lillard here, okay? I know what his career has been, but at this point, do you think he's not smart enough to understand what they have to do to win a championship? I mean, from all accounts, he didn't even think that Julius Randle was going to be what he turned out to be. Nobody did. Because they went and they drafted Obi Toppin. You know, and look, maybe Toppin turns out to be a terrific player, but Tibbs didn't think that Randle was going to be a long-term part of the solution. He still may not think that, especially based on what we just saw. So if you're worried about him and load management, I'm not. I absolutely believe that he will do what he needs to do to make sure everybody is on point in trying to win a championship. So if that's your concern with Kawhi Leonard, if you could potentially bring him here with Lillard, I think you're out of your mind. I don't think that's going to be a problem in the least. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Lots of talk tonight regarding the Knicks' future, and that's where we started the show with the idea that the Knicks have already called the Blazers about Damian Lillard, along with a handful of other teams. That, according to Stephen A. Smith, after the game last night, they were already getting calls about Damian Lillard and his future. And then you got Dame posting up on Instagram that it's a picture of him walking out of the building in Portland saying, "How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meets preparation?" Quote, Nipsey Hussle. Maybe Dame wants out. And if he does, this is one of the few places that can make sense for him, for Portland. He just needs to have a running mate. And Dame and Kawhi together? Man, sign me up. Kawhi's the free agent. Dame, you have to make the trade for. You have the young players, you have the picks, you have the cap room. There are not many places that can say that. 800-919-3776, open lines, hit them. Spike, St. Pete, up next. Have you recovered?
I'm recovered. I'm fine. I saw what we have. I think to answer Cullen's question, I think the last first-round pick we re-signed is Charlie Ward, extended.
I believe you're correct on that. That is crazy.
I enjoyed Charlie Ward. I thought he did.
No, I know. Charlie Ward was fine. I'm saying it's crazy that it's been that long.
Well, now you got the right guys. You know what business is like. And I feel bad for your five-hour commute. I shot you over a little picture to make you really feel bad about the weather. But you got back, and that's all that counts. Listen, here's what I saw. That's a no-brainer, if I've ever heard of a no-brainer. Now, let me get this right, because I think I know it, but I need some cooperation. Having the cap room doesn't have to make the money work. Am I correct?
it helps you be able to absorb the contract without having to even it up. Yeah. Exactly.
So Kawhi's a UFA, and, right, and Dame has a big contract, which is fine. We don't have to equal 80% of that, so we can keep
Julius. No. You do not. No, absolutely not.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right. So this is whoever says no to this doesn't understand the machinations of how the game has changed. A lot of people, especially you, have emphasized this is not 1994. You know, this isn't the way the game's played. If this is the way the game's played, you get Kawhi had his uncles in New Jersey. He worked out at the same gym. We all know the background here. That's a perfect combination. Perfect. And Julius, listen, he had a wonderful year. He made us want to go home and watch the Knick game or get to TV or do whatever you have to do. I'm not quite sure with RJ. I think he's 20. I think he'll be a decent player in the NBA over a long career. I think his ceiling is kind of limited. That's a tough draft. You had Obi, Zion, Ja, and DeAndre Hunter. It was four, I believe. So yep, that's a good draft group. RJ Barrett is going to be a very, very good. First of all, he gives you the minutes and he doesn't get hurt. That's important today. And you get Dame and you get Kawhi and you got Tibbs. You're there pretty fast. You're there pretty fast. And
that's the thing.
I wouldn't hesitate.
And you do have to look at it, and thanks for the call, Spike, as if the timeline has sped up a bit, right? You can't look at this anymore as we're going to take our time. It's going to take 4 or 5 years, blah, 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 blah. It may not happen immediately, and that's fine. But if you have the opportunity to go get these guys, then you have to do it. You can't screw around. Now, look, it may not come together. Dame may not want to come to New York. But from all accounts, I mean, this guy is someone who's an aspiring rapper who may want to be in a bigger market. You know, in Portland, it's not like Dame has gotten the attention that he deserves. There's a reason I called him an underrated player earlier. It's because nobody from the middle of the country east is staying up until 12:30 at night to watch Dame play. Especially, you know, Portland games, if you don't have the league pass, they're not on a lot. You'll find them on NBA TV, maybe some late games on TNT or ESPN, but, you know, it's not the Lakers. You don't see them all the time. 800-919-3776. How about Rob in Wayne, New Jersey is up next. Rob, what's going on, buddy boy?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I love Leonard. And what the problem I have with that whole trade and is that you probably have Lillard for 3 years, maybe 4 years. I don't see a big that can be the third guy. It seems like everything's a triplex now in the NBA. And Randolph kind of disappeared in the playoffs. He can't handle a big, so you can't have him on a guy like Capel. You still need a big guy. You're probably going to have to give up Robinson, RJ, Quigley. We've got four draft picks before number 58, maybe a couple of those or package them for next year. But I don't know where you get the big. And when you don't have the big, it looks like the Nets, the Bucks. I mean, there's a ton of teams out there that look like, you know, you're still in third or fourth place in the division. I don't see that bringing you a championship. Anyway,
listen,
that's my thought.
It brings you a lot closer to competing for a championship. Maybe you can add the big later, yeah, kind of like the Nets have done. You know? I mean, the Nets the Nets went and added Blake Griffin later on after they traded away Jared Allen, and Nick Claxton has turned into a pretty good player. I guess he's out. Thanks for the call. I get what you're saying here, but you can't operate from that standpoint. You know, we're not talking about guys who were 35 and 36. 31 and 30, basically, at the start of next year. There's 3, 4, 5 years there for that to happen. I just had somebody send me on Twitter. This is Edison Norford checking in on Twitter, hitting the old ESPN trade machine, and hits me with, "This is a fair trade. The Knicks send Julius Randle, Kevin Knox, one first-round pick this year and a first-round pick in 2027 to the Blazers for Damian Lillard. No, they do not. That is not a fair trade. That is not nearly enough for Damian Lillard. When you are going to start with Kevin Knox in the discussion, you need to stop the discussion. Guys, when you're going to make a trade like this, the market has been set for the superstar player by what happened with James Harden this year. We're talking about 3 and 4 draft picks and swaps. We're talking about Robinson. We're talking about RJ. We're talking about Quickley in this kind of a deal. Now, maybe not both RJ and Quickley, maybe a couple of the other younger players, you know, and you're left with one of them, or you're left with Randall, and you have a big three, and then you go from there. That's all fair. But I would say, if you're talking about Randall and Kevin Knox and a first-round pick that is this year and another one that's 5 years away, it's not even this year. It's next year. Stop. Stop. Like I said, if you're the Knicks on a trade like that and you're going to Portland, you better come correct. 800-919-3776. We're hitting Twitter right now, at Chris Carlin, over on Twitter. Some responses to this proposed combination of trying to get Lillard here together with Kawhi Leonard. And while it might be difficult to do, and it might be, I'm not going to say pipe dream, but I'm going to say unlikely, I still think it's very possible to do when you're Lillard. You're trying to figure out where you can go to win a title and who you want to play with. And Kawhi Leonard is a free agent this year. And the Knicks obviously have the cap room. They obviously have the assets to make a deal with Portland that Portland can find palatable. And they are then in position to contend in the East. Are they as good as the Nets? No. But I don't think anybody that you threw together would be any better than what the Nets have. How could you find anyone that it's going to be better than those big three? You can't. So here's some of the tweets coming in. Asking about Julius Randle as part of the trade. Maybe. I don't know if Portland would want that. Also asking about that is E. Rose 1-2-3-2-4 on Twitter. You wouldn't do that trade. No need for Julius if they signed Leonard. Yeah, I just don't know if Portland wants Julius back, or do they want the younger players like Toppin? Do they believe in Toppin's ability as a younger, more athletic version of Julius than maybe they would believe in Julius himself? Or do they want, you know, Mitchell Robinson and RJ and Toppin and picks, a combination therein? And also including Quickley in there. Not all of them together, but some combination of those picks and pick swaps. Like, that's what it's going to cost, guys, to get something done. E. Rose, with that thought, then we also have good old Charlie checking in. Knicks should offer 3 number 1s, Robinson and Obi, for Dame. And if Blazers say yes, you hang up and hide so they can't change their minds. You're going to have to give them one of the guards, too. You're going to have to give them one of the young guards, too. Smigley Foul checking in. Stop trying to make Fitch a thing, which is, in other words, this is not going to happen. Brian, will it take that, but getting both of these guys to New York with no New York ties, what's the difference between this and the Nets? I will take it, but getting both of those guys to New York ties. Well, Kawhi does have his uncle in New Jersey. That is a thing that he's close with. So, you know, the other concern there, if you're going to point to it, would be Dame from Oakland if he wanted to go home. And let's be fair about it. And Bart's the first one that brought it up earlier today. You know, the Golden State Warriors do have draft picks, high draft picks, lottery pick, and they do have young players like James Wiseman to offer up. 800-919-3776. Chris Cummings on Twitter checking in. Knicks get Lillard and Robert Covington. Portland gets Robinson, Toppin, Quickly. Three first-round picks, two future pick swaps. Rocco. Big Shot Bob. Well, not the original Big Shot Bob, but you get the point. It's not terrible. It's that kind of a deal that we're going to be talking about, guys. Let's get back to the phones at 800-919-3776. Mike in Queens is up next on 98.7 ESPN. Michael, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for the time today.
Yes, sir.
You know, after watching the playoffs, right, and after watching the Knicks for five games, their biggest hole on their roster was glaring, and that's point guard. Right, mm-hmm. It's very clear they need a point guard, and obviously Dame fits that need. It makes sense, in my opinion, for him. You know, bigger market, and if you can get a running mate like Kawhi here, like that makes a lot of sense. And you know, he's got a really close relationship with Johnny Bryant, who's on the coaching staff. So I think any concern with Tibbs and how the treatment would be, I think, can be alleviated a bit because Johnny Bryant is on the coaching staff. And you know, with what you have to give up, it's, you know, whatever it would take, in my opinion, right? Whether it's RJ or Barrett plus Quickly or Obi and draft picks and, you know, basically whoever's on the roster should be available. He's that kind of player.
And that's 100% correct. And thanks for the call. And guys, I get that you want to try to build it slower with younger guys and your own guys. That's very nice. But there is a point to what the Nets did. The Nets took their younger players, developed them for a few years. Joe Harris was on the scrap heap, basically, on the outskirts of the NBA, turned him into a $75 million contract guy as a great shooter, developed Spencer Dinwiddie until he got hurt, but Dinwiddie had turned into a terrific player, developed Jarrett Allen, developed Caris LeVert, and what did they do? They turned around and traded a couple of those guys along with the picks to position themselves to be right here. So, yes, you develop everybody as you go along, but you understand that a couple of those guys are going to have to go in a deal to go get the big guy to go win a championship. That's just how that goes. It's a nice thought to want to do it with homegrown guys and your own guys. It's not how it gets done anymore. It's time for tonight's Truly Hard Play of the Game, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. And it's unfortunate that I would make this the play of the game, but it's the only game I'm watching right now, and it's a big play in the game so far. And that's Rafael Devers hitting a three-run bomb in the first inning off of Michael King of the Yankees, already 3-0 Red Sox. Bottom half of the first inning. That's the Truly Hard Play of the Game, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. 800-919-3776. Open lines, let us hit our buddy Rich. He is up next in Brooklyn on 98.7 ESPN. Rich, what's cooking, dude?
Hey, what's up, guys, man? Listen, I'll leave all of the schematics up to the experts who can do all the shifting and stuff like that, but I can only say this much. Ben Dollar in the Garden, listen, that would spark, like, the most. Even if, like, we didn't get Kawhi right offhand, I don't know how it would work, but Ben comes to the Garden.
But you could, because Kawhi's a free agent, and you have the cap room to add both.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, although Julius, he kind of looked like a deer in the headlights once the playoffs started. I mean, I still would like to, you know, retain some interest in him and if we can keep him. But if not, I bet the house on Dame and Kawhi if we can get them in the Garden, man. That would be, and I hope it's not a pipe dream, you know, I guess it is to this point, you know, unless it really starts to happen. But I would love to see that happen as a Knicks fan, and I listen to you guys.
I appreciate the call. Thanks. If the Knicks are already calling on Lillard and trying to figure out how to get him here, you have to think that Lillard's going to want to play with somebody And when you have a player like Kawhi who's available via free agency, if that's somebody that Lillard wants to play with, I think they'd be a pretty good combination, don't you? And I'll point this out again and again and again. When you're talking about legacy shopping as players, I mean, Kawhi's already got a couple of championships, and Lillard's still looking for his first. But when you're talking about legacy shopping, those two potentially bringing a championship to New York, to Madison Square Garden, after 50 years of no championships, that's doing something that's above just getting your ring. That's doing it at a place where it's extra special. It adds more to the legacy. It gives you, well, frankly, a leg up in your legacy on other guys who have won championships. When you go and you do it here, we know this. After everything that's transpired over the last 20 years and over coming within a game seven of winning a championship in 94, if you could do that here, that takes you on a whole nother level than you already are. And that's for Kawhi, for instance. Listen, he did it in Toronto. He did it in San Antonio. Winning a championship in New York, I'm sorry, that would top either one of his other championships. And that's not close. 800-919-ESPN. Lots of Dame Lillard, Kawhi Leonard to the Knicks talk tonight. Why? Because I think it can happen. That's why. And the reason I think it can happen is our good friend Stephen A. Smith earlier today on First.
Yeah, we were talking about Damian Lillard a bit earlier. I just had somebody reach out to me, one of the players. Apparently a lot of people have been eliminated over the last couple of days, as you all know. And as a result, especially when Damian Lillard got eliminated last night, several calls have come their way. You got a lot of teams, about six or seven different teams believe they can get their hands on them. They think they've got a shot. One of them includes the Knicks, who's scheduled to have about $75 million in cap space along with some picks, but also the Clippers, the Miami Heat, and who knows what the Lakers may try to do. Stay tuned.
Yeah, so it's interesting. The Knicks already making calls about it. And to me, if you can try to pair him together with Leonard, who's a free agent, that's why you would potentially do it. Because you got to put the two of them together. And you have to have that second guy to justify making that trade right now to go and get Lillard. And I don't even know that Lillard would want to come to the Knicks unless he already had that second person in there. Now, one thing that Stephen A. has also been saying is that he has been thinking or hearing that Kawhi could very much end up in Miami as well. So, listen, if Kawhi's going to go to Miami, then you're not talking about this kind of a deal. But that's something that, you know, Bart had brought up, that Stephen A. has talked about a bit, that it's kind of known a little bit behind the scenes that Kawhi might want to end up there. But I wonder if he had the chance to go play with Lillard here, if he'd want to do that. I would have to think that'd be a pretty attractive situation. A couple of other things. Number one, and I normally don't want to do this a lot when the game's going on, but the Yankees are just a freaking embarrassment the way they're playing right now. I got to tell you, and I don't want to jump there this second, but I am getting closer and closer to believing that they may not make the wild card this year, that they may not make the playoffs this year, just seeing what we're seeing. Now, look, right now, they're only four games behind Tampa in the division, and that's fine. But while that's still close enough, you see games like tonight, and you just wonder what's going on. Now, Aaron Judge homered. What do you know? A solo shot. It feels like 91% of the Yankee home runs this year have been solo. Although the number's not quite that high, I think it's only 88. You get the point. A number, so many of the Yankee home runs have been solo this year. They haven't scored nearly enough runs. And they got their second run in the sixth inning. They're losing 5-2 right now, bottom seven. They got their second run in the sixth inning on an error on a ball that was thrown away on the infield. I mean, they just don't find ways to do it. It's amazing how poor this team is offensively. And I know we can talk about how the ball's been deadened and the Yankees are supposed to be a home run hitting team, so maybe they have been hurt more than anybody else. Here's the problem. They haven't gotten people on base. They're still hitting their home runs. You can't necessarily blame that. What you can blame is the fact that they don't get enough people on base in front of them. So if you want to sit here and tell me that the analytics say that the Yankees should have a good enough team, well, what's analytics based in primarily? On base percentage, right? Well, guys aren't getting enough opportunities to drive in runs. Yes, guys are getting on base, but the Yankees are only driving in somewhere in the neighborhood of 11% or 13%, something absurd, of runners that actually get on base. And I have to tell you, I will be the first to line up and criticize the guy because I absolutely loved him the first 2 years. LeMahieu's been bad. He's been bad. And in normal terms, he hasn't been bad. But in LeMahieu terms, he has been awful. In normal terms, he's been below average. LeMahieu's been bad. He is nowhere near what he was the last two seasons. And I don't know if that's because of the pitchers using the sticky stuff combined with the ball deadening, whatever it is. The guy has been bad. I heard the line the other day from Alex Cora saying that 300 is the new 400. It's not bad. You know, it really isn't. But, I mean, you've only got 11 players in Major League Baseball that are batting over 300 this season. Only 11 right now through 50 games, 55 games. That's unreal. Only 11 players? I need to go back and look, but I would have to believe that that number was much higher last season. In fact, I'll try to pull it up as I'm speaking about it, but and maybe I'm dead wrong. No, I can already tell you that last year, 23 players hit 300 or better in Major League Baseball, and right now, only 11 are doing it. And DJ LeMahieu ain't one of them. So there are massive holes in the lineup. We've talked about that ad nauseum. But at some point, you have to find a way to put bat on ball and not just say, this is what we are, and the pitchers can spin it too much. You have to figure out a way. They're certainly hoping that Major League Baseball is going to be a lot tougher on these pitchers. And it sounds like they are, starting with 10-day suspensions. 10-day suspensions, not 10-game suspensions. 800-919-3776. Robbie in Massachusetts has been very patient. Robbie, what's up, brother? How are you?
Chris, it's a great show. It's a hell of a lot better than watching the Yankees or watching the NBA. You know what, Chris? I don't know what I can't stand more, the NBA or Major League Baseball. So hear me out. You're talking about Damian Lillard and Kawhi Leonard coming to a dream to the Knicks, right? Okay, well, last night was the last stop for me for the NBA playoffs this year, watching Phoenix and the Los Angeles Lakers. Chris, this is not basketball. This is not anything that I learned growing up or anything I was coached or anything I tried to coach to teach kids how to play the game. This is a three-point plethora, a cornucopia of nonsense and ridiculous ISO that makes me want to vomit. Can anybody post up anymore? Look at this garbage. What do coaches teach people? What do coaches teach the NBA players? Remember that little chalkboard or the fake little court that you had when you called timeout and you wrote up a play and you drew up a play? Now they come off the timeout and they go, oh, yeah, let Randall chuck a three off the rim. That's good. last night in the L.A. Laker-Phoenix game, okay, last night in the Laker-Phoenix game, it 10 sequence was nothing but clanging threes. Why would you take threes when you're up by 18 points? And can anybody draw a foul? Chris, my question is for you. Why don't guys post up anymore? As far as the Yankees go, Chris, I can't take it anymore. And I'm honestly, I hate to use him as a scapegoat because he really shouldn't be the scapegoat because it's not his fault. But I would make a change in manager, and I would make a change in GM next year. I mean, somebody's got to just kick these guys in the rear end, Chris. I am sick, and I am tired of watching this nonchalance by this lazy team. I'm sick of it. And you're right about LeMahieu. He's been terrible. But you know what? If you put a solid, realistic leadoff hitter, because the last time we had him was Johnny Damon, in front of LeMahieu, a guy that can actually make a defense nervous. Like you were talking about Tampa Bay. Was it this afternoon you were talking with Barr about Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
About how they exactly. And by the way, you know, it's great to hear you up with Bart. And again, it was a lot of fun this afternoon. I tuned in because trying to get through to Michael is impossible. But anyway, thanks for the time, bro. I appreciate it. I love it.
No, thanks, Robbie.
I'm just tired of the NBA. I really am. It's disgusting to watch. Please, you know what? I watched five Hall of Famers share the ball in 1973. Why can't you? The idea of basketball is
I know, Robbie, but you know that's not what goes on anymore. You know that's not what goes on anymore. It's more about. And again, I hate the freaking word, but analytics get involved in basketball. And analytics say it's more important to shoot threes than to shoot twos. Hey, do players post up? Yes, players post up, but usually they're dominant low post players like Joel Embiid, who also, by the way, shoots threes. Jokic, who, by the way, shoots threes as well. You know, it's not just enough for the big man to dominate inside anymore. They have to be able to get away from the rim as well. 800-919-3776. It's frustrating. I get it, but it's the game now. And we can't get caught up in the whole, this is what it was 25 years ago. Why isn't it that anymore? Because times change and we get frustrated by that. I understand, but that you have to adapt with the times and it's what the game is. As far as the Yankees are concerned, Boone, they're not that far off from going after him. That's for sure. Cashman, this is the one I will never understand. I will never understand that. As much as they have put together teams that have been good, they haven't been good enough. And when I look at the amount of money that I've spent, like there's a big part of me that really understands and gets why Hal Steinbrenner doesn't want to go over the payroll luxury tax threshold. Because when you look at the two teams that are in front of them in the standings, neither one of them is close to it. You know, the Red Sox are a good $45 million short of the luxury tax, or $40 million short. The Rays payroll is like, what, $12? Feels like it. You get the point. So part of me with Hal, I get it. If you look at it and you say, why are we where we are with the money that we are spending, and now you're going to want to tell me that the only way to fix it is to throw more money at it? Well, frankly, yeah. Right now, the only way for the Yankees to fix it is to throw more money at it.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.